Hey, our first speaker this morning is Jameson Glazebrook. He is finishing up being on staff at Norkenzie Christian Church in Eugene, graduated from Boise Bible College in 2016. He is leaving Norkenzie next few months and then moving to a outdoors ministry down in California near Bass Lake. Any Bass Lake fans down there? Anyone out? Been there? It's beautiful. So I can see why he's going to go there. But excited for him to come and speak to us today. He says that he has a heart and he's open to seeing how God will lead him and his family maybe into church planting in the future. So do we all hear that, church planting in the future, right? Okay, so that's accountability, my friend. So would you give a warm welcome to Jameson?
So that was interesting. Hopefully you found that funny. If you didn't, if you could do me a favor and pretend you did find it funny, that helped me out. You know, you go to any preaching class, any public speaking class, and one of the things that they tell you is it's always good to start off any speech, any sermon with humor. Breaks the ice, gets everybody comfortable, gets everybody settled in their seats. For all the preachers in the room right now, I apologize. I just gave away one of our biggest secrets. You can reprimand me later. But humor, use humor is what they say. And I've been thinking about humor a little bit lately. And the thing I realized about humor is in order for something to be funny, it needs to be relatable. It needs what I've come to call humor's smidge. It needs to have a smidge of truth. It needs to be understood in that way. It needs to be relatable. And so we watch this video, we laugh, we think it's funny. I think the smidge of truth here is that there is kind of an underlying tension between generations. I don't think it's necessarily aggressive conflict per se. I think it can be that way, but there's kind of an underlying tension. And I think it's simply based on we just don't understand one another. Right? We all have different experiences. Each generation has their own experiences, their own events that they've gone through, innovations that have happened, failures that have happened in their own time that have defined that generation's general worldview. And that generational culture is different from every other generation's culture. It's alien to each other, and therefore we just don't get one another. We just don't understand one another, which I think leads to this kind of tension. I think God wants us to explore that a little bit this morning. This concept, this idea, this thought of tension between generations was kind of, I believe, God-given to me several years back. And we'll get into that later. Right now, though, I think it's important that we pray. If you could bow your heads with me. God, I give you this time. I surrender this next hour and a half to you for all the speakers. I want to specifically surrender this next half hour to you, that you would be present. We invite you here, and we ask that you would speak in the ways that you want to speak. Thank you for everybody in this room. Pray for your spirit's movement. In the name of Jesus, amen. For those of you who have no idea who is standing in front of you and is about to talk your ear off for the next half hour, my name is Jameson Glazebrook. Like Troy said, I am a graduate of BBC 2016. I am married to the lovely Hannah, once Newman, now Glazebrook. And I'm excited to explore this whole concept of generations with you today. I preached this sermon maybe, I don't know, a month ago. I couldn't tell you a specific date, but at Westside Christian Church in Eugene. And just from what I hear, it sounded like God did some things with it, which I think is amazing. And I'm praying and surrendering this to him, hoping that he will continue to do so. Where to start? About a year ago, April of 2017, the wonderful news slash entertainment business called BuzzFeed, that whole news entertainment line seems to be a lot more blurry nowadays. But anyway, BuzzFeed came out with a video about a year ago called Generations Throughout History. I'm not going to show it to you as it's 20 minutes long and that would take up all of my time. However, I did want to share some highlights because there were some very interesting insights that they shared. They explored the seven generations that are alive today and the different events that shaped them, the different qualities about them. And I wanted to share some highlights, but before I do that, I want to share a caveat that understand that some of these qualities of each generation are not all positive. There are some negative. So I don't want people turning to their neighbor who is of a different generation and saying, oh, your generation did that? Oh my gosh. Don't do that. Okay. These are generalities. This is a general study. But let's get into it. So the way that the video describes generations is understood primarily as typically referring to a group of people born within a certain period of time whose shared age and experiences have a distinct world view. The first generation that they go on to describe is known as the greatest generation. Those of us who were born between 1901 and 1927, are there any people representing here of the greatest generation born between 1901 and 1927? Yes? Excellent. Can we give you a huge round of applause? Thank you for being here. Some formative events: Great Depression, World War II, Pearl Harbor. It is said of the greatest generation that they created modern America from sheer force of will and decades of hard work. They're known for their community and nation building. From the oldest member of the generation to the youngest, there was the largest leap in educational attainment in U.S. history. The majority of the greatest generation was religious. And as of 2015, 4 million people of the greatest generation. Moving on to the silent generation, people born between 1928 and 1945. Anybody? Excellent. Can we give them a huge round of applause? Thank you for being here. Some formative events: post-war American dream, the Korean War, space race, the moon landing, Cold War, McCarthyism. They wanted to work, they're known for wanting to work within the system and not to disagree with the government. They went on to popularize the idea of a midlife crisis and made divorce more common. 88% of women were not in the workforce, and the average age they had children was younger than any other generation. I thought this was interesting. No member of the silent generation has been a president. As of 2015, there are 28 million people. All right, baby boomers, 1946 to 1964, let me hear you. There we go. Can we give you a big round of applause? Thank you for being here. Some formative events: Vietnam War, the protests that went along with that, Watergate, Nixon resignation, Woodstock, the assassinations of JFK, Martin Luther King Jr., and Robert Kennedy. This generation is known for its deep involvement in the civil rights movement and were motivated to change the world. They were the largest generation before millennials. They reached their peak in 1999 at 78.8 million people. Drinking, marijuana, and illicit drugs were used more by baby boomers than any other generation in their history, in their youth. As of 2015, there are 74.9 million people. Generation X, Gen X, 1965 to 1980. Anybody? Excellent. Thank you for being here. Some people already got the idea. We'll get you guys your Sheryl Crow albums later. Some formative events: fall of the Berlin Wall, end of the Cold War, MTV, music videos. Gen X was stereotyped as a generation of slackers, aimless, unmotivated, and more interested in pop culture. Again, caveat. This isn't describing your neighbor directly. Gen X was the first generation where women were more formally educated than men. 55% of startup founders were Gen X, the largest percentage of any generation. Gen X has incurred the most personal debt. As of 2015, there are 66 million people. Millennials, 1981 to 1997, I'm in that group. Who else? Excellent. Would you mind giving us a huge round of applause for being here? I appreciate that. We appreciate that. Some formative events for us. 9/11. The Obama election. Great Recession. Rise of global internet. As of 2015, we surpassed Gen X to become the largest generation in the American workforce. Compared to older generations, we are less likely to take part in marriage, religion, the military, and political parties. Millennials are twice as likely to have never been married than members of the silent generation at the same age. More millennials identify as LGBT than any other generation. As of 2015, there are 75.4 million people. Generation Z, my brother belongs to this one, I'm curious, 1998 to 2010, excellent. Can we give them a round of applause? Some formative events for you guys. Global terrorism. Trump election. Brexit. Social media. YouTube. Digital content. They are the first generation to not remember a time without internet, smartphones, or social media. Generation Z grew up with a black president and same-sex marriage as a constitutional right. They live in an increasingly multiracial and multicultural world and find that to be less of an issue than previous generations. As of 2015, there are 49 million people. And finally, certainly not least, Generation Alpha. I'm curious, 2011 to 2025, I see one back there. Can we give them a huge round of applause? Excellent. Yeah, there we go. Excellent. Predicted to become the most formally educated generation in history with the most technology at their disposal. First generation to be born entirely in the 21st century. Millennials, the parents of the Gen Alphas, are increasingly having only one child families. It is predicted that Gen Alpha will be the wealthiest generation in history. Predicted they will experience commercial spaceflight, a dream first set in motion by the greatest generation. And so concludes our history lesson for the day. I'm sure many of you are asking, why did you just spend the last 5 to 8 minutes talking to us about history? There's a quote from a science fiction novel by Orson Scott Card in 1985. The novel is called Ender's Game. There's a quote in there, which I'll let you hear it. I think it's impossible to really understand somebody, what they want, what they believe, and not love them the way they love themselves. It is impossible to really understand somebody, what they want, what they believe, and not love them the way they love themselves. Why did I just go through all of those generational facts with you? So that we might better understand one another. And so, therefore, that we might better love one another. I mentioned this whole idea of tension between generations was an idea that was birthed several years ago for me. The context of that, I was working in a church during the summer, again, several years ago. And I was invited to elders' meetings. And I'm going to be honest, I got frustrated. The things that they were talking about, I thought trivial, not important. And I got frustrated, and I left at the end of the summer after my time was up there, thinking, in all honesty, they are so stubborn. But then I went back to BBC and started talking with my fellow students. We started relating our summer experiences to one another. We had similar frustrations with one another. And we started saying things like, man, if the church only did this, then, you know, everything would be okay. Man, if the church only implemented my plan here, I think it would thrive. Man, if the church only was able to do that, everything would work out. And that's when I realized we're just as stubborn. We're all stubborn. Yay. But it was in that mental state, that mental soil, that God in his genius and beauty planted this idea. Hope you have your Bibles with you. Please turn to Acts 2:17. Acts 2:17. For context, this is either during Pentecost or right after Pentecost, mostly during. The Holy Spirit has just come upon the disciples, inspiring them to speak in multiple tongues. Everybody who hears them thinks they're drunk. So Peter gets up, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to give the first sermon of the established church. And one of the first things that he does is he refers to Joel 2:28. Verse 17, 2:17. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now there's a lot of factors that we could get into here, spiritual gifts, relationship between men and women, even if we went further into the context, looking at servants and masters. But there are two very simple, specific words I want to highlight. Young and old. Both are mentioned. There's a difference in age. There's a difference in experience. There's a difference in maturity. There's even a difference in authority. But both are receiving the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Both are invited under the blood covering of Jesus Christ. Both are embraced into the kingdom of God and its ways. This principle, simply put, each generation has value in the kingdom of God. That statement is not found directly in the Bible. You won't read it. It's not the 11th commandment. But once we understand this concept, you see it everywhere in the Bible, subtly. Let the little children come to me, for these is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 19:14. You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man. Leviticus 19:32. Do not say, I am only a youth, for to all whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Jeremiah 1:6. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Psalm 71:18. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. 1 Timothy 4:12. Each generation has something to offer in the kingdom of God. The wisdom of the older, the passion of the younger, the structure of the older, the innovation of the younger, the love and tender care of the older, and the justice mindset of the younger. You can even look at the innocence and joy and faith of the youngest as value in the kingdom of God. We need to see each generation as a gift from God. We need to invest time, energy, and respect into each generation. We need to be willing to step into each other's shoes and lay down our own perspectives to hear each other out. And please understand my heart in sharing all this. I'm not a 25-year-old millennial coming up, setting up my soapbox and saying that you older generations need to treat us better. I'm not saying that. My generation has as much responsibility to invest in yours. What does this look like in the future of the church? I'm not sure. I'll tell you one thing, though, I think is going to be hard. It's easy to give simply, you know, a financial gift. You might give to the youth mission trip or the Young at Heart coast trip. However, I believe that in order to achieve this valuing of each generation, it will cost us more than just money. It will cost us something that is more expensive and something that we have less of, our time, our physical presence, being present with each other, like this room, like this convention. Sharing space and engaging one another. We may not understand each other, but you know where that starts. It starts with you on one end of the table and the other person on the other and just talking. This is going to be hard, but if you read through the rest of Acts 2, you see Peter finishes his sermon, out of a response, 3,000 people are baptized. And you hear later in Acts 4 that all these people were of one heart and one soul. That's really hard. Dare I say, impossible. I can think of 3,000 people being set towards one action, but of one heart and one soul, that's deep unity. And the only way that that was achieved was by the Spirit of God. So this will be hard. This valuing of each generation will be hard. But we have the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen. Father, we give this to you. Help us to carry it farther. Help us to take it where you would have us take it. We thank you for your presence. Thank you that you care enough to be here. To you be all the glory and honor forever and ever. Amen.